from waiting around for that plain little band of gold. A person can develop a cold.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. That song is from a Broadway musical called Guys and Dolls, which first hit the stage in 1950. A character named Adelaide singing about having a cold or getting a cold. And, you know, we've been talking about people and colds for not just decades since then, but for centuries before that. People have complained about the common cold. You hear, we can deep fry a Snickers bar, but we can't cure the common cold. Well, no, we can't. And it doesn't look like we're going to be curing it anytime soon. My next guest is an expert on this. She's a biochemistry professor at the University of Madison, Wisconsin. Ann Palmenberg, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning. Hi.
There's no cure for the common cold even on the horizon, is there?
Well, nothing that's safe that can be used over-the-counter ubiquitously by the public. That's correct.
Well, wait a second. You made it sound like there is one, but we're not being told what it is.
No. There have been pharmaceutical companies working on this, obviously, quite diligently for many, many years. And there are compounds that have been tested that will take out individual strains of rhinovirus, which is the agent of the common cold. But some of them are not really that safe to use anytime you get a cold.
So we're kind of stuck with the over-the-counter antihistamine thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you need something that's very safe and can also take out multiple different types of rhinoviruses. And that combination is very hard to develop.
Let me go to that point right there. Multiple types of rhinovirus. We're not just fighting against one thing here when we say the common cold, right?
That's correct. There are currently recognized at least 150, close to 160 now, different human rhinoviruses that differ serotypically, and that means that your body recognizes them independently, and you would need to develop an immunity to each one of those 150 in order to never get a cold again. And that's just a whole lot of strains, which makes vaccination very impractical.
Have we developed anything that makes us at least cure some of those?
Well, when you the viruses themselves, of course, are fairly benign. A cold, you know, makes you feel lousy and you cough and you sneeze, but you never feel bad enough that you don't go to work and sneeze on your coworkers. unlike the flu, for example, where you really, really feel very bad and you have interferon responses, which makes your body ache, and so you stay home and prevent shedding it. Rhinoviruses have 10,000 years of evolution with their hosts, such that you never quite feel bad enough that you don't go out and continue to spread the virus.
Yeah, and
so they're very, very good at what they do.
That sneezing on coworkers is part of the biggest problem here, right?
Indeed, it is, yes.
Now, you mentioned evolution. Are these viruses evolving to the point where every single mutation makes it so difficult for us to keep up with them?
Actually not. There are a whole lot of them out there, but they have been developed over thousands of years of evolution. So unlike things like HIV or influenza, where a single mutation can make a totally different virus, it takes a number of mutations in the surface of a rhino to get a new one. But that process has been going on for 10,000 years, and that's how we have so many of them out there now. The problem is that all of them, or virtually all of them, are circulating simultaneously. Unlike flu, where you get a new variety that comes out and then sweeps around the world one year, and the next year you get a different one, the next year a different one, all of the rhinos are out there all of the time. So you sort of have to be protected. Every individual would have to be protected against all of them all of the time in order to make an immunity difference.
Now, I'm curious about the difference between the cold and the flu here. And, you know, I get a flu vaccine each year. And I know that every couple of years we seem to be hearing about a new flu that's out there. Is that vaccine that I'm getting, is that protecting me against all strains of the flu?
Absolutely not. It's simply the ones which are circulating at that time. Flus tend to originate, they come out of birds, varieties come out of birds and mix with human varieties, and you'll get a new version of a flu, which then will go global in a given year. And the CDC and other surveillance units are constantly looking to see what's the next one that's coming out. And they prepare the vaccines accordingly each year according to the anticipated varieties that will be circulating that year. But rhinoviruses are out there all the time. All 150, all 160 of them are out there all the time. Mm. In a single study we did at the University of Wisconsin over 10 years, looking at viruses in infants, either well infants or kids when they got sick or when they got asthma, you would take a sample from them and say, hey, what virus is in here now? In that single 10-year period, in one hospital in Wisconsin, we found more than 90 variants of rhinovirus. So they're all out there all the time worldwide. And that's a very, very different mechanism of spreading and staying in the environment than things like flu.
I'm very depressed now. You just made it impossible in my mind for us to ever beat the cold.
Exactly.
Really?
That's the challenge we're working on. Exactly correct. That's right. How do I put it? A lot of very smart people are working on the molecular biology of these viruses, trying to find things that are common among them in the life cycle, where potentially you can target multiple varieties of rhinoviruses at once. So the rhinoviruses taxonomically, because viruses, just like all other organisms, have a taxonomy, they fall into three species called the rhinovirus A, B, and C. And each one of those groupings, the viruses are a little bit different physically and a little bit different biologically. And, for example, they use different classes of receptors, which are the proteins that they use to attach to cells. And all of the rhinovirus A's and B's, for example, use two receptors. The rhinovirus C's use a third one. So even though there might be 50 different rhino C's, they all have that vulnerability of having to use the same protein to get into a cell. So if you go after the common targets, for example, the receptor, then potentially you can take out whole classes of them at one time. So if you understand the biology and how these work in cells, it presents targets that are different from what a vaccine, for example, would cover.
If we could get in Dr. Brown's DeLorean and travel back in time, could we find a time when there was just one rhinovirus before all this evolution and mutation started taking place?
Probably, but these are in the same genus, the same taxonomic group as this, are other enteroviruses, which include things like polio or enterovirus 71 or Coxsackie viruses. All of those are biologically similar and physically similar to the rhinoviruses themselves. The big difference is where they grow in the body. The rhinos are in the upper respiratory and lower respiratory. Polio grows in the gut and in neurons. EV71, hand, foot, and mouth disease, grows in lesions on hands and feet. So they select different targets, but biologically all of them have a common origin, which probably dates back 100,000 years.
And yet for many of those, including polio, we did find a cure or at least a vaccine, but
The difference is that with polio, there are only three serotypes, only three types of polio.
So are we wasting our money looking for a cure for the common cold?
Oh, I think, well, the more we learn about it, the more we find commonalities that we can go after. Actually, this is a very exciting time in research because in 2006, the entire species of rhinovirus C, which we never knew was there before, was discovered. And it doesn't grow in normal tissue culture, so we haven't been able to study it before like we've studied the A's and B's. Knowing that there was a new class out there explained a lot of the previous drug failures in clinical trials, and also explained a lot of things like asthma exacerbations and diseases that we didn't know were previously associated with C. It's sort of this mysterious new group of rhinoviruses. And now that we have them, and now that we can grow them, at least partially grow them, we can study them and fill in the missing pieces. And a lot of new pieces are beginning to come to light that I think are making the science very exciting.
I'm sure that Big Pharma...
Stay tuned, I guess, is the message.
Yeah, I've only got 30 seconds here, and I'm sure Big Pharma wants to find a cure for the common cold because, hey, that might be bigger than Viagra. Might be bigger than Viagra. But on the other hand, that gets rid of all their over-the-counter antihistamines and all the other stuff.
Well, if there were a single drug you could take and never get another cold in your life, it would not be very lucrative for Big Pharma.
And that might be part of the catch here. Ann Pommenberg is a professor of biochemistry at the University of Madison, Wisconsin, and former president of the American Society for Virology. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
You're welcome.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend from the Envision Networks.